Welcome to the Cable Box Search Podcast, and I'm your host, Rakari Smith. And today we will be having a very, 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 very special guest for Black History Month. Drum roll, please. Margaret Coward. Please introduce yourself, Miss Margaret.
My name is Margaret Coward. I am 74 years old, and I was born and lived in a small Kentucky town called Hartford, Kentucky. Very segregated at the time, even though that's just the way we live, you know. We moved from Hartford, Kentucky to Louisville, Kentucky. But during the summers, I would go back and stay with my grandmother. And during this time, I learned a lot about segregation and separation. And we were cordial to each other, you know, the blacks and the whites, but still we knew the line to draw. We knew the line, you know, the line to draw. My grandmother did laundry for, you know, white people in the town. And you know, my first really acquaintance with segregation, my first encounter with segregation was very eye-opening for me because I did not realize that this was going on. This is the way that my grandmother and all the blacks in Hartford lived, or how they had to live. So we went to deliver her laundry. She ironed for people, and we was going what they called downtown. This is where all the rich houses was and, you know, the better neighborhoods and everything. So we were going there. So as we go into the yard, I'm going up to the front door. And she said, no, you can't go in this front door. And I'm like, why? We right here, you know. And she said, no, that's just not the way it is. You have to always go to the back, which stunned me because I was like, Grandma, why do we have to go to the back? And we right here at the front door. And she was like, well, that's just the way it is. And that was my first encounter with real segregation or separation.
Yeah.
Of the races.
Oh, so thank you for sharing that with us. So have you ever had any times where you thought you need to, any racial moments where, you know, they called you the N-word or something where you wanted to go off, you wanted to slap somebody, you wanted to hit them, but you couldn't? Have you had any of those moments?
The only time I've ever encountered being called a nigger by white people, it was a load of some young boys was in a car. And my sister and I had went for a walk. And when they came by us, they hollered, niggers, go home. You know, and that was my first time. And no, I didn't want to smack him. In fact, I was afraid because it was a car full of, you know, young boys. So we was really afraid. We wasn't angry. I mean, we were angry in a sense, but we was more afraid that something might happen if we hollered back.
So they yelled that out of the car. They just,
right. Yeah.
Okay. So that actually doesn't that show you how racism becomes? It is not in your mind. It is taught to you.
Yeah.
You are taught to do something like you taught your ABCs. All right. So another question. So we're going to start with, what do you think is your favorite Black History moment that helped the Black History? What do you think? You don't have to be born at the time. What was your favorite moment that you think helped Black people the most?
I think my most exciting moment was the March on Washington with Martin Luther King, because to see all these Black people together for one cause.
Not only white, but
Black and whites, but majority Blacks.
Yeah.
There for this one cause, and that was to get equality in our country. That was really exciting to me.
Yeah.
I thought that was really something just to see all of us gather together. Because during slave time, we have always been taught to be separate. We was always made that the light skins was better than the dark skins. And so it was, you know, just to see everybody together, it really was something to see.
Yeah. So it's another question I was looking at. How do you feel about the word passing? you know, passing us white. How do you think that is?
You mean as they passed as white, if they a black person, and they passed as white?
Yes.
I think during the time, maybe, some people felt it was necessary because they wanted to get ahead in life and they didn't know how to move amongst the black people and get ahead. You know, so if they could, some of them passed for white. You know, because we did have some real, real, real light people. They were white because a lot of them were the slave owners' children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have kind of mixed feelings about that because at the time they were doing this, women wasn't highly educated, you know, and everything. So they was doing what they thought would secure them in their future.
Yeah. So also, you know, like, and sometimes we feel the need to, we want to move toward greatness, and by that I mean like get a job, you know, get equalness, and that felt like if I'm black, I'm never going to get that equality that I want. So let me pass as white. Let me get that certain.
If I can do this, I'm going to
do it because technically back then, you know, that was the only way. Because it, you know, and some of them got caught. Some of them got caught and got killed, or some of them got caught, got fired. Some of them got caught, got put into jail because. In the 1930s, all the way to the 1950s, that was a felony. Mm-hmm. So you passed as white. So basically, yeah. And, there's another really good question. How do you feel? You know who Hattie McDaniel is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get you was not born at that time. But how do you feel when you learn that she accomplished so much as a black woman? She was the first black person to win an Oscar and be nominated. She was the first black singer to sing on the radio. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel very proud, you know, during that time that they did nominate her for that. But at that time, you know, people might say, well, she was just a maid, or she was just, you know, a maid, or she was just a slave owner's, you know, property. But the point of it is that she made such a good impression on an all-white judge staff that she got an Oscar.
Yeah.
So I was really proud of her for doing this because, you know, I didn't have nothing against her, but I think I was really proud that she got an Oscar for her role, whatever role it was, because during the time, that's all the roles that they got.
Yeah.
Was maid, butlers, custodians, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, and because all the movies they used to have back then was according to the Civil War. Now, I know we're getting mixed max, different questions and all that, but I want to talk to you, Margaret, Miss Margaret, because I know you sit at home and watch movies a lot. I know you can laugh. I know you sit home and watch movies a lot. But I want to get to you. How do you know Sidney Poitier, right?
Uh-huh.
You watched Lilies of the Field, right?
Yes.
Do you like that movie? What do you think it, how do you think, is it a good, is it a bad or good impression on the black equality?
Well, Lilies of the Field actually showed that he was accomplished in what he was doing, you know, but it also showed that he had compassion, that he wasn't the person that white people have betrayed us to be, angry murderers, rapers, and everything. And when he decided to help those nuns do what they needed to do to build their school or whatever, that showed to me that it was showing that a black man has compassion and that he does do charity and that he has skills. And when you have skills, it's nothing people can do. It's like getting an education. Once you get your education, that's something people can't take away from you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that is really important to our kids, is that when you get an education, when you get a degree, you are a threat.
Yes.
You are a threat to the white community because you are right up there with them. You got what they got, and you a threat. But I thought that movie was good. It just showed that he had compassion and he cared about other people.
Thank you. That was actually a really good point of view I didn't think about. But yeah, and just thinking about what he achieved winning, I love, and I feel, some people feel the need, who cares about an Oscar? Everyone should care about an Oscar because that supports every movie and show you watch. Because once you win that, you get a title saying, you're the biggest star on TV. You win an Oscar, you're the biggest star on TV or whatever you're watching. And just for Black, that's based now when Sidney Poitier had McDaniel. During that time, they couldn't even sit with their own castmates because it was segregation. And they sat, Hattie McDaniel sat all the way in the back. They was in the, I can't remember what hotel, but it was a big party hotel. It was really big. And they sat in the, and all the, her castmates sat in this row. But she sat in the back, all the way in the back, had to walk 18 inches. That is, not 18 inches, all the way up there, all the way from the back. Okay. So, you know, that's a long walk. Just to get that award that she could dump in the trash later. Yeah, not even worth anything at the time. So, okay, how do you feel? This is the last film question. How do you feel about Halle Berry? How do you think she makes an impression since she's the first Black woman to win an Oscar for Best Actress in a Leading Role? How do you feel? And how do you feel about Halle Berry and her award?
The award that Halle Berry got, It's kind of, I don't know. You know, she's a great actress. Yes. She's a very good actress.
Of course.
And all the movies and everything that she's been in, the movie that they gave her the award for, she played a compromising position, which was, she played like a loose woman. Mm-hmm. And they gave her an Oscar for that. So it didn't portray her as a upstanding woman, but, you know, it portrayed her as a loose woman that would just do anything, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have mixed feelings about that award. Because all the movies she played in, then they finally decided to give her one for that which portrays Black women in a bad image.
Thank you. But, okay, so if you feel that, you feel about that. I get what you're saying, but let's just think about that for a second. If she's really portraying that kind of role, is that saying that they're putting Black women as sexist? No. Yeah. You know, they're They're putting a bad image on Black people.
I'm not going to say I think to me that that's what these people think. So her coming out as a beautiful Black woman portraying this. So they, you know, to me, the award was given to her for playing this part, which was an unsavory part.
Yeah.
And all the other things that she's done, they never awarded her for. But just as soon as she plays something unsavory, then they jump up and give her award. But you got to understand that everybody on these committees is white.
Right, yes.
So and a lot of the men on the committee, that's what they want to see us at.
Yeah, and there is no white women on, and I can tell you that at that time, there still isn't a white woman on the Academy member for that. And back then, you didn't really have, they don't care if you, Black, white, you didn't win no award. You didn't win no, all you can win is a NAACP award. And, so, okay, let's get off this film for a minute. Let's take off this. I want to ask you a question that refers to what you have seen on TV. Now, this news wise, not like movies, not like, you know, Lilies and Phil. I'm talking about news wise. How did you feel when you saw Ku Klux Klan hanging N words on the TV? And that's what they used. They always, white men on TV in the news would say the N word. They didn't say these Black men on TV, they would say the N words because they was allowed to. Now they don't even have, now we have took that right away from them because we came together and stopped them. But how do you feel about seeing Ku Klux Klan hanging these Black men on the wall?
Well, for one thing, I don't watch those movies.
No, news-wise. Yeah,
Here lately, I haven't seen any Klans.
No, I'm talking about, like, back then. I mean,
back then, when the Klans was really popular, we didn't have a TV.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't, I'm not going to say popular, but when they was, you know, doing all the burning and all the stuff and everything, we didn't have a TV. But one incident here in Louisville happened out off of Dixie Highway in that area. A white activist and her husband bought a house for this black couple out in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And when the blacks moved in, they start burning crosses and everything in their yard. Now, this was right in Louisville on Dixie Highway.
So the Ku Klux Klan, have you?
I don't know if it was the Ku Klux Klan. All I know is that they were burning crosses and stuff
so,
like that.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure you got a nine. You probably think, you know, of course, we think it's a Ku Klux Klan, but it's not always them. It's sometimes just these
people that want to be.
Yeah, wanna be. And Ku Klux Klan was, is back then in the 1856, they were committed to stop, they were actually committed to stop people from coming into America. So basically, they were still racist because they stopped people from, you know, Chinese people from coming into America. And they would stop Mexican people from coming into America, all that kind. But then, once they brought us over here, they stopped us. From what? Just becoming,
doing anything.
They just killed us for no reason. They would kill our slave, Ku Klux Klan would kill slave owners. So that way they can kill the black people. They would not, they would burn their house, their
property,
and they would burn, they wouldn't burn the property. They would burn wherever the slaves lived in. What are they?
The slave quarters.
The slave quarters, they would burn them and slaves would burn them. And then they would take pictures of them and they would post them on this little magazine. They'll post them on a magazine, and they will give them out and say, this is what happens if you know.
Scare tactics.
Yes, yeah. But, yeah, and so that's what I just wanted to give that point out. So finish us telling the story.
Well, that happened, but that happened until, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a while ago. And I think I was still in school. I think they moved out because they threw a bomb.
Oh.
What do you call him? Bombs where they light fluid and just
throw it in the a cocktail.
Some kind of cocktail. But they did, I think I'm remembering right, that they threw it in their window and the house caught on fire.
And they moved out.
They had to move out. But in the beginning, see, they didn't even buy the house.
Yeah.
The white activist, and she died not too long ago, her and her husband.
Oh, did you know them personally?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh. They bought the home for them.
Okay.
Because we didn't have a fair housing law then.
Yeah.
And now we do. After all that, well, they passed the fair housing law, meaning that we could live anywhere we could afford to live.
Yeah, okay.
But that didn't mean that they had to sell the house to us.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, we could say we wanted to live here and there, but it didn't mean, it didn't require the landowners or the homeowners to sell to us. They could refuse to sell to us as long as it didn't come out in a racial tone.
Oh.
Because they could say, well, somebody else bought the house.
Mm.
And then, but if they said, oh, no, I can't rent to you because you're black, then that was
racist. Okay.
And yeah, it was racist, then they could get sued.
Yeah, so I'm glad. But what I would say is mostly is I have another question for you, very important. This is about the Emmett Till death. How do you feel? Not about Emmett Till. How do you feel about his mother and what she had to go through? Just answer that question. How do you feel about what the mother had to go through?
I think it was horrible. But I think she was brave, a brave woman for bringing her son back to Chicago for everybody to see. Because I think what she was really expressing was, this is what they do to our young people, you know, and nobody gives a darn.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how they treat our children. He was 14 years old. So I think her bringing her son back and opening up the coffin, I think that was her idea, really kind of maybe releasing some of her grief or maybe taking control of the situation. Like, I'm not going to let y'all get me down or whatever. I'm gonna do what I can do just to show America what kind of people y'all are.
Yeah. And okay, thank you for sharing that so much. There's a good question right here. And I want you to answer this with complete honesty. We're gonna go to your own personal life, not too deep, you know. How do you feel have you ever ever. How do you feel about Mr. Isaac Coward? Has he ever had any racial encounters? Have you ever had any racial encounters?
Well, I just can repeat what he told me.
Okay, yeah. I know you didn't live it, but yeah. You know.
But at MSD, when he was working there, well, this white guy used to always keep a cotton plant on his desk. Always, and nobody could understand why, but they wouldn't do nothing about it. You know, like the upper supervisor, they was like, it's no harm in that.
I mean, it's like racist because he's a cop.
Yeah, you reminding them that they, slave. You know. And then I think another encounter was that one person, they came in and somebody had a noose around.
What is a noose?
A hang, you know, where they had hung a dog. I forgot what they call them, Oedipus or something like that. But anyway, they had hung this doll like he was hanging a person.
Yeah. Oh.
And it was a black doll, whatever, and they had him strung up.
Yeah.
You know, like he was being hanged. Now, yeah. They did get in trouble for that.
Did they put what they put on his desk?
No, they didn't put it on his desk, but they had it in the office, in one of the offices where they work at. So that person did get rolled up and everything for that, because you knew exactly what he was saying.
He was saying, you're going to be hanged. And that was, and I understand that. I bet that was scary.
I'm going to hang a Negro.
Yeah, but that was scary.
But he's encountered, I think black men encounter more racism than black women, because they want to be over a black person so they can tell you what to do. Like the police, sometime, as was sitting out in front of my sister's house around the corner from the church waiting on me to come out of the house. And the police pulled up, what you doing sitting here? Just real nasty, you know, to him. And he said, I'm waiting on my wife to get out of the car. I mean, to get out of the house. Well, you run around, go around the block until she comes out. You know, and you can...
did the police ever? No, he didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything, but just his attitude and the way he talked to us.
Oh,
you know, that's the thing. You know, when they trying to be racist, impress you with their authority. You know?
Yeah, and I was actually reading this movie West Side Story. You know who? You know, Rita Moreno, one of my favorite actresses. She played in that movie, and I watched it. This thing reminded me. They said the police officer's name is Lieutenant Strength, and he told the Puerto Rican boys to go back to your country. You're ruining this neighborhood. Same difference, you know. And they was real, and they said go bleach yourself or something like that. He said I don't have to. But he said, oh, because this is America. We have the freedom of speech. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. But I have a badge. What do you have?
Right.
And that really made me so mad, because it's like this dude can go off anytime, and this dude, and he's trying to become a bot, and you know, the Puerto Ricans, they just came from America. They came over here so they can have peace and equality, but they can't do it because what are y'all doing? Y'all are terrorizing them, and because they're black in their gangs, they're in a gang. But what else do they got? They can't do nothing. They can't get a job.
Well, we're not the only one that experienced.
Yeah, it's
because, you know, in different cities, you had different areas. Like it was all Puerto Rican, all Polish people. All Italians.
Yeah, especially, and then what got...
Especially in big cities like New York.
That's where they were. They were in Harlem, and they had this little city. And then what also got me is how the Ku Klux Klan treated Jews. Now, that is what they call religion racism, because they didn't... Jews were white people. But since they claim that, you know, they killed Jesus, so... I mean, I get that, you know, they killed Jesus, so we gotta kill them.
Really, I don't know. The only thing I can say about the Klan is that the Klan thinks that they are pure white.
Yes.
That nobody
can hurt them.
Well, nobody is better than them. They're the purest of white people.
Yeah.
And that they don't even know if somebody in the Klan might be mixed.
Yeah.
If somebody passed for white.
Yeah. And so,
because all you have to do is say, I hate black people.
Kill
a gay person.
Yeah. They do hate.
Heterosexual,
I don't know why I keep saying that, but they actually burned down. It's a LGBTQ. It's a headquarters for, I think, is it, what is it? It's for lesbian, gays.
You need to look it up when you talk about it.
I know it's lesbian, gays, bisexuals, and transgender and queer. Is that it? Well,
I'm not for sure.
Yeah, but they burned down the headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan. They, you know, they put a poster on there and said, "We did this Klan." Lee, I need to leave. But yeah, yeah, but yeah, and I think that is just a terrible thing that they did. They had to burn it down. A lot of people, you know, got injured. Nobody died. Well, yeah, nobody died, so it was good. Yeah, but we're gonna go to the next question, and we're gonna talk. Next question, and this question is very important. How do you feel about the assassination of JFK? Why do you think, and why do you, actually, not how do you feel, why do you think he was assassinated? Because there's a lot of theories out there, a lot of rumors. Why do you think he was assassinated?
I think because he was setting up a system for integration.
Thank you. That is exactly how I feel. Thank you. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about MLK's death? MLK assassination.
Same thing. He was pushing for equality, so it meant that Black people would have the same rights as white people. So I think both of them were pushing for equality among races.
Yes.
So I think it's why they both got killed.
Yeah, and you know, same as Malcolm. Well, Malcolm X is different because he—that was his own kind. That was his.
Yeah, he was Muslim.
I don't like a religion secretary right now. They are crazy. They do anything to protect their.
But that's a different kind of Muslim.
Yeah, but I don't. I'm sorry, but yeah. But yeah, and okay, it's another question. Ruby Bridges. We have watched that movie. I don't know how much. Oh, did I mention? This is my great-grandmother, just to tell y'all. Forgot to mention that. Sorry. We have watched that movie, Ruby Bridges movie, a lot of times. How do you feel about that? And go ahead.
Well, I think Ruby Bridges was a very, very brave young girl. Plus, her parents were brave to even consider that.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was other children that were supposed to go along with her, and they all backed out.
Yeah.
So she was the only one, but they was determined to let her go to school. And she endured a lot of racism, threats, death threats, the corner store stopped selling stuff to them, you know, and stuff. It was just, to me, I think her family was really brave, you know, and she was a brave little girl for even going through that.
Yeah.
And, I think once they got her in there and she endured it, then that opened up the doors for other black people to go to school.
Yeah, and then the teacher was not racist. She actually liked them.
No, her teacher was a young girl.
Yeah, she was not racist. She accepted her and said, you know, taught her and tried to bring other students. The other teachers got mad. The other teachers actually, you know, was making death threats to the other white teacher that was teaching Ruby Bridges because she was fine teaching this black girl.
I think it all just goes back to the fact that during that time, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
They didn't want the races mixing.
Yeah, that was.
And they thought if they let the little black boys in there, they'll be after they white girls.
I forgot about that. Thank you.
That's the main thing. Yeah. I don't want my kids sitting next to no black person. I don't want my kid, you know. And I think they was worried about the black boys after their daughters. Yeah. But that to me is the opposite.
The black
because
girls.
My nephews played basketball for Ballard and for Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they called them. The white girls was always after them.
Mm-hmm.
But see, back then they thought it was just the black boys that was after the girls. But it wasn't. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't understand a lot of stuff because a lot of this stuff happened when I was young.
But see, you know that it happened.
Yeah.
And see, older people that's older than you, they have endured it. So then I fear that, you know, maybe I won't talk about it.
I think a lot of people don't want to talk about it because they had to pick cotton. See, I never had to do that.
Well, I mean, even your mother probably didn't have to pick. Your great-grandmother probably really didn't do slavery because it was done
But they lived under that same cloud of segregation.
And after slavery ended, they declared that we're still slaves at the slave plantations.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is that they had 20, it was like a countdown. They had, an hour to let their slaves go, and they, and you know, some plantations refused because they thought they were gonna come in there and kill them. You know, mm-hmm. they had the right, and it just didn't happen. And you know,
it's, that was a sad part of our
history. That was really,
and I think it's the reason why I think this, in my opinion,
yeah,
they don't want these books to come into the school about different nationalities and our history of our country. About slavery and all that. And I think that the people that are so against it, they don't want people to realize just how cruel and inhumane that their ancestors were.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and some of them think the kids reading these books are looking at this thing is going to get angry and maybe start something with the white kids.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that because it happened so far back.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, these, okay, that's like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. my grandfather done killed a couple people, you know, not saying they had, but, you know, just saying.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. But it's just the fact that they, I think it's what they're afraid of.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was so much stuff, but, like, we live, excuse me, I was born in Ohio County, but we moved to Indiana, mm-hmm. Evansville, Indiana, when I was about 5 because I went to kindergarten there.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Louisville.
Okay, yeah.
But in Louisville, they had their own black theaters. So see, I was used to going to the movies and different things, and it was all black. You know, we had our own movies. We had, in fact, all damn Muhammad Ali, that's where everything was.
Yeah.
So I, you know, my grandmother let me go to show with my cousins and stuff. I was so surprised that we had to go. We did not sit with them.
Yeah.
You know, that they separated us.
Yeah.
You know,
it was just cruel. Now, I'm going to ask you this. This is a question. So how do you feel about when whites used to kill us and they used to kill, whites used to kill us, how do you feel that we're now killing each other? All this.
It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to know that these young boys, the men out here killing each other, but you have to go back in history to know why it all started over drugs.
Yeah, drugs. And who was, and see, that was under the president's control. You know, the president had it on, you know, president was supposed to get rid of these drugs and stop getting them. But to tell the truth, the president was taking drugs himself.
Well, I just know that it all started with them bringing drugs into the community and everybody fighting over territory and you selling drugs on my corner and you shouldn't be and all that.
Yeah.
And I think it's very sad, but I think that was their goal. It's for us to kill each other and we get out of the way.
Yeah, now we can't. Now they, since that we can't kill you, you're going to kill each other.
Uh-huh. And we just kill each other. And they paying these young kids money to kill people for them and all that. But drugs, to me, was the damn fault of this whole, that whole generation.
Yeah, and that was sad.
And it still is. Because everybody wants something right now.
Yeah, and the thing is of it, it's sad and, another question for you. How do you, now this is, I've heard a lot of people, I've heard somebody tell you that, why do you hold Barack Obama at a higher pedestal? You know, why do you hold him at a higher standard? And I can tell that reason. And that's only because I think, if somebody ever told you, why is Barack Obama such higher than any other presidents? Especially if somebody asked you that. Because during your time, you never saw somebody black wearing your face, wearing your color, in that office. You never saw somebody black in that office, unless they was a butler or they was a maid or anything. You never saw somebody sitting in that Oval Office chair that was your color, your skin, until Barack Obama came. You never saw somebody, you can look up on Google and say, who's the first lady? You saw them wearing your skin. And you saw them going to Harvard and Yale and law school. You never saw that.
I thought it was. I don't actually hold no man to a high. I think Barack Obama was an exceptional president. But I think people were just so overcome with with emotion because a lot of people never thought that they would live to see a black president.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that he became president in my lifetime. So that I think that he's a good example to other kids to let them know that you go to school, you do what you're supposed to do, and work as hard as you can and keep focused on what you want out of life, then you can do whatever you want to do. You don't have to want to be president.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you want to own your own business, but it's steps you need to take to do that.
Yeah.
And I think by him being elected president, it made kids look up and say, well, I can do that or I can be that. You know, I can work just as hard as he did and, you know, and get what I want out of life. And I think it was a real good example.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a good example for our young people.
Yeah, thank you. I feel the same exact way. It's just, you know, life can, you never knew. Like, I'm pretty sure when you was at 12 years old, you was like, oh, yeah, he can run the problem. He ain't going to win. We already know. It's another question for you. She's a little personal. When did you have your first kid?
At 17.
You was in high school, right? In 11th grade?
11th grade.
So what year was that?
1964.
What year was you? Okay. Oh, so the year after JFK, where were you at when JFK died?
Sitting in my last class at Central High School in English.
Mm-hmm. And how did you know?
It came over the loudspeaker that John F. Kennedy had been assassinated and he was dead. And everybody got to screaming and howling. Our teacher couldn't even go on. She was just so upset. So that's where I was when it happened.
Oh, okay.
And they let everybody go home. But and then some of the parents came to get their kids, but you know, a lot of us caught the bus anyway.
Yeah.
but I never will forget that. I was sitting right in my sixth period English class.
Yep. Yes. And we're gonna get last three to four questions. Now, last three to four questions. Okay. Right. So, how do you feel about this Ukraine versus Russia stuff? It's just nonsense.
Now, to be honest, I'm tell you, I don't understand
it. I don't either.
I don't understand all that foreign stuff about war, and I don't know what they're fighting over, and I really haven't got into it, so I haven't read anything about it, so I have no opinion because I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm actually going to make this the last question. How do you feel about the war, Vietnam War?
I think it was a waste of human life.
That's all?
Well, because I think the soldiers and stuff felt like they didn't even have a reason for being over there.
Yeah.
It didn't affect our country. And a lot of the soldiers came back dead. They were, you know, maimed, you know, and everything hurt. Really bad hurt, and some of them came back with their mind all, you know, messed up. Yeah.
Okay.
And plus they used chemicals and stuff that they didn't know how it would affect my people.
Yeah. So, guys, that is the last of the podcast. I want everybody to thank Margaret Coward for coming out here today and doing the podcast. Everybody give her a little cheer. All right. Tell everybody you want to just say a few words when you're in.
Oh, I just want to say thank you all for listening. I'm proud of my great-grandson for doing a podcast. And I hope other kids will get interested in the media and communication because that is the future of, you know, of America.
Yeah.
And if we could get more kids involved in media and communication, you know, then you can own your own business and just go from there. Huh?
Yeah.
I said young black. Okay. Young black kids to get involved in media and communications and media besides social media, not not TikTok and all that, but you know, to really dig into that, because that is our future in America, is a media and wireless communication. So the more you know, the better off you'll be.
Yeah.
So I encourage all kids to please look into your future right now. Don't wait till you're a senior in high school. Then start thinking about now what you want to become and how you're going to achieve it. And I want to thank all our ancestors and all the people that has put their life on the line for us to get as far as we are. We're not there yet, but we're a long ways from when I was a child. So I want to thank all our ancestors and everyone who participated in doing this.
Yeah. So just everyone, thank Margaret for being out here today. I hope you have a wonderful day. Before I go, I want to give you 3 announcements. Okay, first announcement, we're going to have a very special guest next podcast episode. And second announcement, please go watch Women of the Movement ABC on Hulu or... go watch it. It's about the murder of Emmett Till, and it shows how a mother's love is connected to the child. Please watch it. It is a great show. Just 6 episodes. That's all. Please watch. Third announcement. Just remember, celebrate your Black culture this February. Please celebrate your Black culture. Do that, and please do good. And not just February, but all the time. That's what Marker Coward says. But yes, and just remember, please come to church. Don't, if you can't, watch it on live stream. So please come to church or either watch it on live stream. You can do it on the Cable Baptist Church app, or you can do it on Facebook. Please thank you and welcome. But have a wonderful day, and please thank you for listening to the podcast.